More now on the military's recruiting problems. Slate contributor Philip Carter joins us. He's a former Army officer and he's an attorney. He's here with us in the studio. Philip, good day.
Hi, Alex.
The National Guard has raised the top age for new recruits from 34 years old to 39 years old. This is an effort to attract more people. How would you view this?
Well, there are two problems here. The first is that the Guard and Reserves are having a real problem with attrition. They're losing people who declined to reenlist after one, two, or three tours on active duty since 9/11. The second problem is that the Guard is having a real problem bringing new people in the door. And specifically, it's having a problem bringing folks in who served on active duty before. So their sense is that if they raise the ceiling from 34 to 39, then they can recruit more former sergeants and former officers who served on active duty.
You get a larger pool of people. Now, one thing that the Guard has said about this is that that 34-year-old age limit, the previous age limit, was there because it was an era when people would engage in hand-to-hand combat, they thought, in the military, or potentially have to. Now combat maybe involves more technical systems, so you don't have to be quite so physically fit.
I think the Pentagon would like to say that's the case, but events on the ground clearly indicate it's not. Soldiers in a Baghdad command post may not use anything besides their laptop, but if you drive on the route between the Green Zone and the Baghdad airport, or you run a supply convoy anywhere in the country, you're as likely to see combat as an infantryman. So a 38-year-old recruit is going to have the same stamina and physical wherewithal as a 19-year-old.
The Guard is just one branch of the military that's been missing its recruiting goals. How serious overall is the recruiting problem these days?
The Guard is just one branch, and it's one of the reserve components. But in fact, the active duty components of the Army and the Marine Corps have also been facing this problem, as has the Army Reserve, which is the Federal Reserve component. And even the service academies, West Point and Annapolis, have seen a decline in applications, although they still have enough to select one out of every 10, and they're still some of the most selective colleges in the country.
So is there a sense in the military that this is all tied to the obvious dangers of military service today with the Iraq War?
There's a growing sense that there's a problem with the supply of young Americans who are willing to serve their country in combat. And there's the open question about what the nation can and should do should that supply ever dry up.
You co-authored a recent article in the Washington Monthly magazine in which you argue that the United States can either maintain an all-volunteer army or go back to the draft and remain the world's superpower, but it can't do both, can't stay a superpower without bringing back the draft. Is that realistic?
I think that's the choice that we find ourselves at now. If you take the long view of the 20th century and you look at how many soldiers we've had to deploy overseas in support of our foreign policy, every 10 or 20 years, we've had to send anywhere from 500,000 to 16 million soldiers under arms to serve our policies abroad. And the all-volunteer force model, while good for a number of reasons, simply can't sustain that level of commitment overseas.
But there is no political will that we've seen to bring back the draft.
No, but I think some people are starting to ask the question of what if? What if the supply of recruits dries up? The question of political will is one that is never easy, but in 1940, FDR attacked it by having the political will to see the storm clouds on the horizon and institute a draft before World War II.
President Bush said in the campaign season last year, absolutely not, no draft ever.
That's right, but it's interesting. He's also told Iran that all options are on the table. And you can't say that the nation will not commit to a draft and then also tell our enemies that all options are on the table. Because if you remove the draft, you remove one of the major sources of national power. That is the ability to mobilize our nation for war.
Opinion and analysis from Philip Carter. He writes on military and legal affairs for our partners at Slate Magazine. Philip, thank you.
Thank you.